spotlight sweeping over the emblem for 20th Century Fox, carved into a golden monolith. 20th Century Fox presents a CinemaScope picture. A lone horseman's riding across an open plain beneath a dusky sky. Gregory Peck and Joan Collins in The Bravados. With Stephen Boyd, Albert Selmy, Henry Silver, Kathleen Gallant, Barry Coe, George Boscobetz, Herbert Radley. Lee Van Cleef, Andrew Duggan, Ken Scott, Gene Evans, and the Ninos Contores di Morelia Choral Group. Screenplay by Philip Yordan, based on the novel by Frank O'Rourke. Music by Lionel Newman, conducted by Bernard Conn. Director of Photography, Leon Shamroy, ASC. The Lone Rider canters across mountainous terrain as the sun rises and the sky brightens to an azure blue. He slows to a trot, then eventually stops on a slope, looking down into a gaping valley. Produced by Herbert B. Swope Jr. Directed by Henry King. The Lone Rider trots along a dusty path with steep mountains to either side of him. He's a handsome, dark-haired man with a chiseled jaw. He's wearing a copper-colored jacket with a black hat and riding a jet-black horse. A Mexican man is perched on a ledge high above the path. Clutching a rifle, he observes the Lone Rider. Far below, the rider continues on his way, unaware of the man's presence.
Pull up!
The rider freezes and holds his hands up. The Mexican on the ledge is aiming a gun at him. The Mexican scurries along the cliff top down to the path and faces the rider. The Mexican's wearing a deputy sheriff's badge.
Where are you heading, mister?
That town called Rio Arriba?
That's right.
That's where I'm heading.
Are you Mr. Sims?
No.
The sheriff don't want any strangers in town.
Not till day after tomorrow.
Then I'm in time.
For what?
The hangin'. Tomorrow, ain't it?
Yes.
So just turn around and go back. You're welcome to Rio Arriba the day after.
I've ridden 100 miles to see this hanging.
That's for the sheriff to decide. Unbuckle your gun belt.
The rider unfastens his gun belt and hands it to the deputy.
Give me your rifle. Don't take the hand off the butt. Ride in slow. I'll be right behind you.
The horseman rides into town, followed by the deputy. A farrier takes a break from fitting a horseshoe to stare at the mysterious rider. The bank manager steps outside and watches the rider with curiosity. The horseman and the deputy continue through the town square. A priest, a man and a woman are standing outside the church. They turn and stare at the stranger as he rides past a set of wooden gallows being constructed. A man and woman emerge from a store.
Who is it?
I don't know.
The rider and the deputy tie their horses to a post.
That's his office.
They walk round the back of the gallows and enter an office. Where a mustachioed man is eating at a desk.
Picked him up at San Marcos Pass. Said he came to see the hanging.
I told you not to let anybody through except Sims. I'll get back there and see you do it.
Yes, sir.
The deputy leaves. The stranger looks around the office with his thumbs in his pockets. The sheriff shoves some food in his mouth and stares up at him.
Well, you got a name?
Douglas. What
are you looking for?
Did I say I was looking for somebody?
Rio Reba is a quiet little town. We don't get many strangers here. What do you want?
Just like your deputy said, I come here to see the hanging.
Where'd you ride in from?
Winthrop.
You rode 100 miles over the mountains just to watch a hanging?
Uh-huh.
Know the men who are going to die?
No.
Oh, you just like to watch hangings, is that it?
Now keep your guns. You stay away from this jail while you're in town.
What time is the hanging?
6 o'clock in the morning.
They start serving breakfast at the hotel at 5:30. You can watch it on a full stomach.
Leaving the sheriff's office, Douglas watches the men working on the gallows. The priest walks over to him. Seeing the priest, Douglas turns and walks to his horse. The priest stops in his tracks and hangs his head dejectedly. A man greets Douglas as he leads his horse away through the town.
My name is Loomis. I own the bank.
How do you do?
Shot my bank full of holes. Killed my teller. But we caught him red-handed. All four of them. Now, sure, they didn't get a dime.
Will you hang him tomorrow?
Do it slow.
Got me confused, young fella.
Aren't you Mr. Sims? The hangman from Silver City?
No.
If you're not the hangman, what are you doing here?
Just passing through.
Maybe he came here to help him break out.
Just looking to feed my horse and find a hotel room for the night.
Yes, sir. I'm the hotel clerk. I can find your room, sir. May I take your horse?
All right.
You didn't answer my question, mister.
I didn't hear you ask one.
What's your business here, Rio Riva?
Put it down. I think we got enough trouble without you starting more.
Folks are a bit edgy today. Might be a good idea for you to stay in the hotel.
Douglas moves on.
All right, break it up. That's just what we're trying to avoid, a crowd. You ought to know that, all of you. Come on, break it up.
You going to church tonight, Tom?
Hey, Ma.
Yes, Father, coming. Are you, Tom?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Willie, take care of this horse. Saturday, we give him a fair trial. Well, we never had a hanging in this town before, so we had to send to Silver City for a man to do the job. And we all thought you was him.
Well, it's not my line. But if you don't show up, I might accommodate you.
Tony, take my horse and I'll meet you at the store.
Yes, Miss Osefa.
In the hotel reception.
Jim!
Douglas turns and sees Yosefa's female silhouette in the doorway. He recognizes her and removes his hat.
Osefa.
It must be 4 years.
Closer to five.
Well, when I saw you crossing from the courthouse, I just couldn't believe it was you. I still can't believe it, Jim.
It's me, all right.
But this is an occasion. It deserves a celebration.
Yes, it does.
Come on. I'll buy you beer. Diego, dos cerveza, por favor.
Sí, señor.
Here.
They sit at a table whilst the barman fetches the drinks.
What brings you to Rio Arriba, Jim?
Nice country.
What are you doing here?
I have some business with the sheriff's office.
The barman brings over a couple of beers.
Gracias, señor.
Have you been back to New Orleans?
No.
We had fun. Since my father died, I don't get to travel much. Where have you been?
I got a little ranch outside Winthrop.
I never heard about it.
Small place.
Sometimes I wish mine were. It's too much for a woman to handle.
You never get married?
Nope. I just can't seem to find the right man.
Maybe you're too particular.
That's what my father said. When we met in New Orleans, I was husband hunting.
You were?
I guess I did behave a little foolishly.
I don't know. Maybe you were smart.
Did you ever marry?
Yes, I did. Fine girl.
I'm sure.
Josefa glances over her shoulder, then sips the beer.
I have to go. How long are you going to be in town?
Just until tomorrow.
Well, it's good to see you again, Jim.
They shake hands, and Josefa strides out of the saloon.
Amigo?
Si, senor.
Douglas sits with a thoughtful frown.
Willie!
Take Mr. Sims' horse to the stable.
I'll tell the sheriff you're here.
Mr. Sims dismounts and the young boy leads the horse away. Sims is a portly man wearing a dark blue suit and bowler hat with a pocket watch dangling from his waistcoat. He enters the hotel. Sims walks into the bar, carrying a case and a noose, and approaches Douglas.
Mind if I join you?
Sit down.
Sims takes a seat.
Can I buy you a drink?
I have mine.
I hate to drink alone. Oh, bartender, whiskey. Sims is a name from Silver City. I've come to perform a little service for you folks.
The barman brings over a bottle of whiskey, an empty glass and a tumbler of water. Sims gives the barman a coin, then pours himself a whiskey.
Say, what does a man do for a little recreation in this town? At night, I mean.
I'm a stranger here myself.
Mr. Sims?
Oh, Sheriff, come in and have a drink.
No, thanks. Would you care to inspect the gallows and have a look at the prisoners?
Oh, it's plenty of time for that. Had a long, dusty trip. Think I'd like to freshen up a bit.
Your room's ready, Mr. Sims.
Oh, thank you. I hope I see you again, sir. Of course, not professionally. I'll drop over to jail this afternoon.
Sims and the sheriff walk out together. Left on his own, Douglas downs his whiskey, then goes.
Sheriff?
Douglas catches up with the sheriff.
I wonder if I get to see the prisoners.
Said you didn't know
him. I never met him, but I think I know him.
They walk on together.
They do you a bad turn?
Douglas gives the sheriff a serious look.
I've been following them for 6 months. Tracking them up and down the state. Relief to catch up with them and find out the law's going to do the job for me.
You're sure they're the same bunch?
Two white men, a half-breed and an Indian, right?
That's them. We never had anything like this in Rio Riva before. Too bad when it's over.
You're wasting a lot of good lumber. A tree would have done just as well.
They were sentenced to be hanged, not lynched.
The sheriff leads the way into his office and straps on his gun holster whilst keeping a watchful eye on Douglas. He unlocks a door at the back leading to the jail. He indicates for Douglas to go through.
Remo!
The sheriff unlocks a metal security door and lets Douglas through. A man with a rifle is guarding the cells.
They giving you any trouble?
No.
Meet him?
They ain't.
All right, come here. On your feet, all of you. I said move! Now!
The four unruly convicts get up and approach the bars.
Can you spare a smoke, stranger?
Shut up.
What are you going to do, punish us if we talk?
I was hoping you'd bring us a woman, Sheriff.
Douglas appears uneasy.
I can know their names.
Douglas moves down the line of outlaws and stares at the first, Zachary. A white man with brown hair and icy blue eyes. Douglas holds his gaze, then moves on to the second, Taylor, a blonde white man. Taylor avoids eye contact. Douglas carries on to Peral, a mixed-race man of Mexican descent. Douglas gives him a cold, hard stare, before moving on to Lujan, a Native American. Lujan gazes back at Douglas with piercing eyes. Douglas looks back down the line of condemned men, then walks away.
Much obliged.
Who's that, sir?
Don't you know?
I never saw him before in my life.
He came to see you hang. This is the last night. Now watch him.
Yes, sir.
And don't talk to him. If they want anything, call me.
Sheriff.
Hmm?
You think I might get off long enough to go to church tonight?
I'll see. I'll do what I can.
The sheriff unlocks the security door, and Douglas strides on through. The sheriff locks the door behind him and is about to enter the office, but then turns back.
Well, Father Bailey's here to see you.
I told you to keep him out of here!
Your mother's with him.
I don't want to see her either!
Peral turns back, seething with anger. Once the sheriff is gone, he turns to face the guard.
Primo, what time is it?
I don't talk to you.
You're the only one we got nothing against, Primo.
Primo takes good care of us. We all love him.
Well, I don't love you.
Sure you do. The first time I have a little Nino, I'm going to name him Primo after you.
You joke. You should be praying.
Hearing a soaring noise, Peral climbs up onto his bed and peers out through a barred window into the courtyard. He watches the gallows being constructed.
Get down!
Peral begrudgingly climbs down from the window. The other outlaws have glum expressions.
What you thinking, sir?
Wondering who that stranger is.
From the way he looked, he sure didn't come here to help us.
I can't place him.
He seemed to know you. He looked at you the hardest.
Lujan.
Hmm?
You ever
see that man before?
No. But he's got the face of a hunter.
Zach, we don't have much time.
Don't you think we know that?
We can't just wait here.
Go ahead.
Bang your head on the bars and yell. They'll hang you right now.
As evening draws on, the villagers are summoned into the church. Mr. Steinmetz extinguishes the gas lamp in his shop and leaves. Tom and Emma are outside.
Why, you say the darnest thing sometimes.
Good evening, Mr. Steinmetz.
Hello, Tom. Emma, you happen to know where I put my stomach powders?
Oh, yes, Father.
Did you get me one?
No.
Just in case. Tom, Emma is a fine girl.
Yes, sir, I think so, too.
The world's big, and there are many wonderful places in it. And I'd like for Emma to see them.
Well, sir,
Let me finish, Tom. I was a pack peddler when I came here. It's taken me a quarter of a century to make what I got today. And now I'm too old to enjoy it. I want Emma to enjoy it. But not in this out-of-the-way small town. I want her to marry some man who lives in Philadelphia or Boston, has his business there, mixes with educated people. Am I wrong to want that for her, Tom?
No, sir.
Right now, Emma thinks she loves you. I guess she does. But she's never had a chance to meet anyone else. I want to give her that chance.
Emma locks up the shop.
Now, what has he been telling you?
Oh, about Philadelphia and Boston.
Gosh, wouldn't you love to go there?
They make their way to the church.
Good evening, Sheriff. Good
evening, Mr. Steinmetz. Emma, Tom.
They pass the gallows. Sims is outside the sheriff's office.
Must be big doings in church tonight. Looks like everyone in town is going.
That's right. It's our annual novena to St. Anthony. When would you like to look at the prisoners?
I'd like to finish my cigar first.
All right, there's no hurry. Finish your cigar.
I think I'll stretch my legs.
Sims gets up and goes for a stroll. Douglas is standing at the window of his hotel room, watching the crowd move towards the church. Looking restless, he turns and walks a few paces into the room, then glances back out of the window.
It's open.
Jim?
Come in.
I'm on my way to church. I thought that you might like to go.
Well, I don't go to church anymore.
Jim, I don't understand.
Very simple, I just don't go.
I'm sorry. Very sorry.
Yosefa turns and leaves the room looking disappointed. Her long red dress and black veil trail behind her as she walks away.
Yosefa, if you'll allow me, I'll walk you there.
Of course.
The outlaws are awoken by a stone being thrown through the cell window. They stare at it. Then Zachary gets to his feet. The others pretend to be asleep. Zachary approaches the bars, and the guard, Primo, rouses from a nap.
You think the sheriff would let us go to church, Primo?
No.
It's all right if I look at it from the window, isn't it?
All right.
Thackeray climbs up onto the bunk bed to peer out of the window. Sims is standing below the window smoking a cigar. He and Zachary exchange a nod. Then Zachary climbs back down again.
Everyone's going to church. You think they pray for us, Primo?
Primo ignores him.
Primo, will you pray for us?
You want me to?
You're a good man, Primo. God will listen to you.
What should I pray for?
That we go to heaven.
I can't do that. But I will pray that God will forgive you.
I'll settle for that.
With his back to Primo, Zachary walks over to his fellow convicts.
What's it, Tucker?
How soon you think before he'll make his try?
When everyone's in church.
No talking!
I'm praying, Primo.
Do you have any children, Jim?
Little girl.
How old is she?
3.
Pretty?
She's pretty. Like her mother was.
Was?
She's dead.
I'm sorry. Good evening, Sheriff.
Evening, Josefa.
You must have been very much in love.
Still am.
Sims addresses the sheriff.
Beautiful evening, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Bathed in pale moonlight, Sims watches Douglas and Josefa approach the entrance to the church.
Thanks, Josefa. Guess I needed to talk to a woman.
There's a woman inside I think you might do well to talk to.
Josefa goes ahead and enters the church, but Douglas turns and heads back towards the hotel. Observing this, Sims frowns, but Douglas pauses and reconsiders. Sims waits with bated breath. Then Douglas turns and walks into the church. Sims breathes a sigh of relief and puts out his cigar.
Well, should we take a look at our bad boys now?
Fine.
In his office, the sheriff puts on his gun holster.
Remo.
Yes, sir.
Everything all right?
Yes, sir.
You go on to church now. Mr. Sims is with you.
Thank you, Sheriff. Thank you, too.
I'm Primo.
Yes, sir.
Come back as soon as the service is over. Mr. Sims may want to get to bed early on account of tomorrow.
Oh, that's all right, Sheriff. Take your time. Don't worry about me.
Thank you, sir.
Primo heads off, and the sheriff lets Sims into the jail room.
All right. On your feet, all of you. Over here.
The outlaws line up on the far side of the bars, and Sims inspects them one by one.
Say, can't we have a little more light in here, Sheriff?
Sure.
I'd like to get a good idea of each man's size and weight.
The sheriff reaches up to the gas lamp, and Sims plunges a knife into his back. The sheriff spins round and shoots Sims dead, but the outlaws grab the sheriff and quickly throttle him.
Hold him up. Hold him up till I get the key.
There's a key dropped on the floor.
Where can I get it?
Peral lies on the floor and stretches his arm through the bars to try and grab the key.
Reach the dipper, reach with the dipper.
He then tries to reach it with a ladle from a water bucket. Taylor takes a blanket from the bed and throws it over the key, then pulls it towards him, slowly dragging the key along the floor.
Oh, come on.
He repeats the process, pulling the key slightly closer each time. Peral then reaches out with the ladle. Inside the church, the members of the congregation kneel, including Douglas, who's beside Yosefa. Everybody prays except Douglas, who looks ill at ease. The choir boys sing. Douglas glances to one side and sees a statue of the Virgin Mary holding baby Jesus, both with crowns on their heads. Yosefa notices him staring at the statue and suddenly looks concerned. Mr. Steinmetz is suffering from a stomach pain and Emma whispers to him, Douglas appears troubled. Emma takes the shop keys from Mr. Steinmetz and hurries out of the church. Emma runs through the dark and empty town square towards the shop. She unlocks the front door of the shop and goes inside. She picks up a box of matches and reaches up to light a gas lamp. Zachary grabs her from behind and places his hand over her mouth.
I'll tie her up.
We'll take her along.
She'll slow us down.
They won't rush us as long as we've got her. I get the horses.
Zachary grips Emma tightly whilst the others go out the back. The priest addresses his congregation.
I think we're all aware of the shadow that has fallen over Rio Arriba. The gallows casts a shadow even at night. Tomorrow for men are to die. That they die is the just fulfillment of Caesar's law. But I would remind you that these four men are also creatures of God, eligible for his mercy. Pray for them as he would. If you recall, there was also scaffolding at Golgotha. And Christ, bleeding and dying, took time in his agony to turn and to pardon a common thief. Remember that tomorrow. For all of you, it'll be daybreak. But for these four men, it'll be the midnight of their lives. Your prayers will help them.
Everybody lowers to their knees. Mr. Steinmetz and Tom are growing concerned about Emma's absence and keep glancing back towards the doors. Yosefa studies Douglas's sad face. The sheriff stumbles through the door with blood trickling out of his back. He shuffles up the aisle and collapses on the stone floor. People jump to their feet to help him. The outlaws are galloping out of town with Emma. The deputy is on his ledge overlooking the valley. He sees the riders charging along the pass. The outlaws fire a few shots, and the deputy falls to his death. They gallop over his body, The townsfolk run from the church in a panic. Mr. Steinmetz and Tom hurry over to the shop.
Emma! Emma! Emma!
Tom lights a lamp.
Here's your purse! Emma! Emma!
How's the sheriff?
He's badly hurt.
Everybody, come on, let's go! Get your horses and guns!
You get your gun and horse and let's get going.
Where?
After them! They stole five horses!
I want a horse! Yes,
we can't find Emma. They must have taken her with them.
Josefa, they've taken Emma. What'll I do? Please help me, please.
Mr. Steinmetz, we'll all help. I'll get my horse and go with you. Come on, Jim.
You can't overtake them tonight before they get to San Marcos Pass. One of them can hold that against 100.
Aren't you coming with us?
It'll be a long, hard chase. I can lose some sleep. I'll wait till morning.
Do you mean to tell me after what's happened tonight you can just go back to that hotel and go to sleep?
Yeah.
And then what?
I'm going to find her. That's the last thing I do. Good night.
The outlaws gallop along a mountain path, leaving a trail of dust in their wake. They stop at the top of the track.
What do you think, Luhan?
With the woman along, they can overtake us.
Tell her you stay here and hold them off till sundown. We'll turn off at the top of the pass and head for Elder Gorge. We'll make camp and wait for you there.
Please, let me go, please.
Later.
Please, my father will give you anything.
I've already got all he can give me.
They ride off with Emma in tow. Douglas watches from his hotel room as the townsfolk saddle up. Josefa glances up at him, then joins the riders. Douglas closes his window and removes some change from his pocket. Then he takes out a pocket watch. Inside the metal cover is a photograph of his wife and daughter. He stares mournfully at the picture before placing the watch on a side table. He then sits on the bed, looking weary. Taylor's perched on a ledge above the canyon, bathed in early morning light. He fires his rifle at some riders traveling along the pass.
Your horse, go into town, and get a wagon back here. Quick! Go on.
Take this man down with the others.
Primo, Murphy looks very bad. There's nothing I can do for him. You've got to get him out of here.
The rider gallops back down the pass.
Do what you can. I've sent for a wagon. We'll get all the way back to town. All we can do now is wait. Then we'll follow them over the pass. Once they get into the open desert, we can circle them.
Once they get to the desert, we can lose them.
They got Emma. I'm not going to take that chance.
Hold it.
Come on, Tom.
Wait. Primo's right. You can't rush him. But don't worry about losing him.
What do you know about it? Who are you? You're a stranger here. You say you can't rush them. That's all right for you, but me, it's my daughter who is in danger. Maybe you want us to lose them.
I've been following them for 6 months. I'm not going to lose them now.
Steinmetz goes. And Douglas turns to Primo.
If I was you, I'd pick out 12 of these men and send the rest of them home. Especially the old fellow and the lady over there.
I can't send Mr. Steinmetz home.
He's not going to do us any good. He's just going to get in the way.
He won't leave.
Douglas leads his horse along by foot. Taylor's waiting on his perch, cradling his gun. In the valley below, Douglas removes the saddle from his horse. Josefa's nursing a man's wounded arm.
I'm sorry.
Yusefa watches Douglas as he throws his blanket down onto his saddle and takes a seat next to the cliff face. She hurries up to him.
Primo just told me you don't want me along.
Well, that's right.
Emma's going to need me when we catch up with them.
Douglas stands.
With you along, we might not catch up with them. You might get hurt. I wouldn't want to see that.
Are you worried about me?
These are mean men we're after. They're real mean.
Yusefa glares angrily at him before walking off. The outlaws and their hostage stop on a ridge.
For the gorge, you must turn off here.
You still like the gorge idea?
Yes, we told Taylor we'd wait for him there.
We can move faster on the desert.
That's where they'll be looking for us.
If we keep moving and ride hard, we can reach the border in 2 days.
In the desert, we can only ride at night. 2 days and we'll burn up. She won't last that day.
Well, why do we need her?
I need her. We'll head for the gorge and hole up there till they stop searching. Lead, Luhan.
They ride on, steadily navigating a steep path down into the gorge. Taylor is still guarding the mountain pass from his lookout. As the light begins to fade, he quietly crawls away. Douglas throws a blanket onto his horse, then places the saddle on its back. Primo walks over.
What do you think, Mr. Douglas?
Sun's going down. That's what he waited for. We can't track him by night. Let's move ahead as long as we can see.
Everybody, get mounted!
The riders saddle up. Morning, and Douglas leads his posse across the ridge. He dismounts.
Somebody build a fire. Start up some coffee.
He walks to the edge of the ridge and gazes down into the gorge. Tom dismounts and approaches him.
Can't we go on? Just you and me?
Douglas scans the wilderness.
Be like looking for a needle in a haystack.
Yeah, but I'm worried about Emma.
Well, suppose we were lucky enough to stumble across him. You don't think they'd give up without a fight? She'd be the first they'd kill.
Here is one of them! Here he is! Come on, all of you! Come here, all of you! Help!
They hurry over to Steinmetz.
I found one of them! There he is, see? Must be one of them.
Primo rolls over the dead body.
This is not one of them.
That must be the real Mr. Sims.
Douglas walks a few paces away and then turns back to the other men. He contemplates for a moment, then turns to Tom.
Got a timepiece?
No, sir.
Here, take mine. You go back to the rim of the gorge and fire a shot every 5 minutes.
But what good will that do?
Well, sound carries a long way in these canyons. If they're in there, they'll hear it. Make them wonder. Keep them up all night. Take their minds off Emma. One of us will relieve him. Every hour. Keep it up all night.
Nighttime, and the outlaws have set up a camp by a river. Luhan collects a pan of water and brings it over to the fire.
You take turns standing watch. I'll look after the horses.
I'll take the last turn.
You'll take the first.
I'll take the first watch. Can't sleep anyway.
Taylor and Zachary settle down, with a terrified-looking Emma tied up, cowering between them.
Taylor?
Yeah?
When we get out of this, you want to stick with me or split up?
Well, I haven't given it much thought.
Well, I have. You're a good man, Taylor. I should hate to lose you.
Well, I sort of like having a man behind me I can count on. That Peral's a louse. The engine makes me nervous. Never know what's going on inside his head.
I never crossed a man that rode with me.
Well, neither did I.
I need you with me.
Back goes double.
I got one weakness I feel you should know about.
What's that?
Zachary leers at Emma.
Women.
Every man's entitled to one weakness. Mine's cards.
You think Lujan needs some help with the horses?
Well, now, he just might.
Taylor goes, leaving Zachary and Emma alone. Zachary stares lustfully at her and runs his fingers along the hem of her skirt.
Is that silk?
Zachary and the others are startled by the gunshot.
Where'd that come from? Where'd that shot come from?
It's an old trick. They want to keep us awake.
Get back on watch.
Go to sleep. You'll never hear the shot that kills you.
Daybreak, and Douglas leads his posse across a plateau. They reach a rim overlooking the gorge. A waterfall tumbles down the side of an enormous sheer cliff into the forested valley below. Douglas forges ahead, tentatively riding his horse down the steep, rocky path. Tom follows, his horse taking small, careful steps. The thin waterfall plunges down the rock face into a pool below. Douglas, Tom, and the other riders arrive at the site where the outlaws were camped.
Not too long ago.
Looks like those shots of ours changed their plan.
Track show, they went down the gorge.
Yeah. Could be the Indians thinking to throw us off.
The outlaws are riding beside the river. They stop at the bank where the river narrows, and they dismount. The men lie on their stomachs and drink from the river. Then Emma does the same. Zachary looks up and sees Emma with her face in the water. He smiles cruelly to himself as he watches her. Mr. Steinmetz fires his gun into the air.
Stop that, you idiot! I want Emma to know we're following.
Now they all know.
You said we'd lose them in the gorge.
They're smarter than you thought, rat man.
There's only one man that could have followed us down here. The one with the eyes of the hunter. The strange one. That the sheriff brought down to the jail to look at us.
He's right. I saw him with a posse up in San Marcos Pass.
Well, who is he? What's he dogging us for? Maybe she knows.
I never saw him before I came to Rio Arriba.
Why did he come?
To watch you hang.
Let her go. He must know one of you.
Maybe it's you he's after.
How could he be? I never saw him before.
No, he don't look like no banker or the owner of any place we ever robbed.
Let's kill him. Then the others can't follow us.
It's a very good idea. You do it.
Let Lujan do it.
No, no. We need Lujan to take us to the border. You catch up with us tonight.
But why me?
It was your idea.
Peral is hiding in tall yellow grass at the top of a hill. In the distance, he sees Douglas and the posse riding towards him. Peral backs up and scurries to a new position behind a tree. Where he then lies down in the tall, dry grass. Douglas scans the horizon uneasily as he slowly rides up the hill. He brings the posse to a halt.
What is it, Mr. Douglas?
You see some movement up there in that tall grass?
No, sir.
I think there's a man up there waiting for us to come within range.
Why don't we make him fire first?
One of us would be dead.
We gonna wait for sundown again?
Primo. Now you take the lead. You and the others circle the hill. Stay just outside rifle range of that tall grass. Now go up the other side.
Primo leads the men. Steinmetz trots over.
Why are you doing this for us, Mr. Douglas?
I'm not doing it for you, Mr. Steinmetz.
From his vantage point, Peral observes the posse on the move. His forehead is glistening with sweat. He watches as they try to flank round to his right. Then he shuffles along on all fours to get a better position. Lying on his stomach, he parts the long grass to get a clear view of the approaching posse.
Come on.
The posse advances.
Come on. Keep moving. I'm waiting for you.
I'm here.
Douglas is behind him.
Drop it.
Peral throws his rifle behind his head and keeps his hands up. Douglas aims his gun at Peral and gives him a hard, cold stare. He walks behind the outlaw and takes a handgun from his holster, then throws it into the long grass. Douglas walks back round to face Peral, then shows him the photo of his wife and daughter.
Remember that woman?
No.
Douglas strikes him.
Now look at it.
Peral crawls forward and takes a closer look.
No.
You're lying.
I never saw her before. I swear I didn't.
You stopped at my ranch 6 months ago.
I never saw your ranch. I don't even know where it is.
There were four of you.
We never did. Please, you gotta believe me.
She begged and cried and pleaded too, didn't she? Please leave me alone. I have a baby. I have a husband. Please leave me alone. Take anything you want, but please leave me alone. Didn't she? But it didn't help much.
I never saw that face before. I was never on your ranch. I never did anything to you.
Which one of you? Which one of you did it?
I didn't do it. I've done some bad things. Robbed, stole, I've run cattle. but I never killed no woman.
Come on, talk. There were four of you. Which one? Which one?
Don't do it. Please, let me live. Please, let me live. Please. I've got a wife and baby, too. Oh, don't do it. Please, don't do it. I'll do anything for you. Please.
And it was all four of you.
Douglas shoots him.
Holy.
As Douglas's anger subsides, he looks up into the sky, breathless and drained. He then walks away, leaving Peral's body in the grass. Peral's mother is in the church, wearing a black headscarf and trying to light a candle, but her hands are shaking. Giuseppe appears and helps to steady her hand. Mrs. Peral gives her a grateful look and then kneels to pray.
Morning, Father.
Morning, Sarah.
How's the sheriff?
Oh, much better.
God. Poor Mrs. Peral. I feel so sorry for her.
It's hard to believe one child can bring so much happiness, so much grief.
Any news of Primo and Lynn?
Jim Douglas is along with him, isn't he?
Yes.
Came to church with you.
Yes. Do you know him?
Years ago.
I hadn't seen him in 5 years. But he's changed. What happened to him, Father?
Quite a lot. He was out tending his cattle. Came home late one evening to find that his house had been ransacked and robbed, and his wife had been raped and murdered.
Awful.
I think that's what's brought him to Rio Oliva. Jim Douglas is not the kind of man to just watch a hanging. Must be some connection between those four men and what happened at the ranch. I think that Jim must believe that those men committed the crime.
Did they?
Nobody knows. I doubt if Jim knows.
But his child, Father, what happened to the child?
A ranch hand and his wife taking care of her.
That child could have been mine. I was in love with Jim Douglas and he asked me to marry him. I didn't have the sense to say yes.
You'd have married a good man.
How do I get to his ranch?
Well, after San Marcos Pass, you take the Winthrop Road to Canyon Diablo. There'll be a small stone cabin.
The outlaws ride on.
You think Peral got our man?
I hope they got each other.
Look.
Yeah, there's Peral now.
He got our man. I feel better.
That's not Peral.
It's the hunter. How could they have caught us so soon? We rode all night.
They haven't. It's only one man.
Well, we can handle one man easy enough.
He's marking a trail for the posse.
Let's wait for him.
And let the posse gain on us?
Go on. I'll catch up with you.
Why, you?
I'm a better shot, and I don't like a man dogging my trail.
Lujan and Zachary ride off with Emma. Taylor stays behind and watches Douglas gallop across the prairie. He rides off into a wooded area. Taylor dismounts and lurks behind the cover of a rock with his rifle drawn. Up ahead, Douglas rides between some trees on a hillside silhouetted against the sky. Douglas keeps a wary eye on the trees as he rides on. Taylor crouches behind a boulder. Douglas looks up at the tall, thin trees towering above him. Taylor rests a rifle on the boulder and takes aim. Douglas rides between two trees, and a bullet ricochets off one of the trunks. Douglas gallops away as Taylor attempts to reload the rifle. Failing to find some ammunition, he resorts to using a handgun. Douglas weaves in and out of the trees, narrowly dodging bullets. Taylor takes aim again and again, but Douglas skillfully evades the gunfire. Eventually, Taylor empties the bullet chamber, and as he desperately attempts to reload, Douglas turns and gallops towards him. Taylor flees in terror, and Douglas swings a lasso in the air above his head. As he gains on Taylor, he increases the speed of the lasso, then finally throws it, catching Taylor around the leg. Taylor falls, and Douglas about turns and charges away, dragging him across the ground. Douglas throws the other end of the rope around a high tree branch and pulls on it, hoisting Taylor into the air. Douglas then quickly ties the rope up, and Taylor's left dangling upside down from the branch. Luhan, Zachary, and Emma stop on a hill and look down at a lone farmhouse in the distance.
What do you think, Luhan?
There sure to be someone there.
Then we'll get something to eat.
We need fresh horses more than food.
Maybe we'll get both.
Come back here!
Emma gallops off, but Zachary calmly raises his rifle and fires at the horse. Emma's sprawled on the ground next to the maimed animal. Zachary and Luhan trot over to her.
Now, where did you think you were going? Ah, don't cry. I'm not going to make you walk. I'm going to let you ride. Right up here next to me.
We haven't seen Douglas since he killed Peral. He must have gone back.
Primo leads the posse through the woodland.
Douglas didn't go back. Look.
They find Taylor's body swinging from the tree. Zachary, with Emma on his saddle in front of him, and Luhan ride towards the farmhouse. A man comes to the window and watches them approach. The middle-aged man returns to his stove, where he's frying up some bacon and eggs. He then glances up at the approaching riders framed in his window. He goes outside to greet them.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Any spare little food? We haven't eaten all day.
Food's pretty scarce around these parts.
We're willing to pay for hospitality.
Where you heading?
Rio Arriba.
Oh, you're lost. You're headed in the wrong direction. Rio Arriba's across the Diablo to the north.
You can spare a little grub for the lady, can't you?
I guess so.
We'd be satisfied with a cup of coffee.
Zachary dismounts and lowers Emma from the saddle. He holds her tightly, scaring her.
You know what happened to your horse? Well, just one word and you'll get the same.
I won't have...
Hey!
Zachary and Luhan help themselves to the man's food.
Well,
Douglas Ranch is about 4 miles west of here. But I don't know if they got any horses or not.
Zachary stops him reaching for his gun.
Don't get any foolish ideas.
Zachary throws the gun out of the window. Then he and Luhan ransack the place. Luhan finds something in a cup of water.
What's that?
The gold.
Them's my teeth.
Where do you keep your gold?
I haven't got any.
What are you mining for?
Silver. So far, I haven't found any.
Luhan throws Emma a scrap of bread, and she hungrily tucks into it. Then the outlaws sit at the table and continue to eat.
Well, I gotta get back to work.
Go ahead, don't let us stop you.
The man picks up something, which he hides inside his hat, and leaves the farmhouse. Suspicious, Luhan watches him through the doorway. Once he's a few feet from the house, the man starts to run.
What did he take?
Zachary aims his gun through the window and fires.
Go and see what it was.
Luhan runs out, and Zachary leers at Emma. Luhan finds the man's body lying in the grass, his lifeless hand still clutching onto a bag. He pulls the bag free from the tight grip. He looks inside the bag. Emma tries to escape from the house, but Zachary pulls her back inside. Her blouse has been ripped open. He slams the door. Hearing the screams, Luhan seizes the opportunity to hide the bag of loot under his shirt. Luhan quickly buttons up his shirt, then glances across the valley. A couple of riders are making their way along a mountain pass. He hurries back to the farmhouse.
Let's go, the posse's coming.
Go ahead. I'll be along.
I said no!
Luhan points out the riders. Then they both flee on horseback. One of the riders is Yosefa.
Well, there's the miners' cabin.
They see the farmhouse.
Douglas's ranch should be about 4 more miles west.
Someone's galloping along a ridge in the distance.
Who's that?
The dark rider turns and heads downhill towards them. Sunlight hits his face, revealing his identity. It's Douglas.
Jim! I'm glad I caught up with you.
Why?
Jim, why don't you stop this mad chase after these men and let them go? You can't undo what's been done. And you have a child to think of. How can you be so sure these are the men?
Something catches his attention, and he rides off to inspect it. He dismounts and finds the farmhouse owner's body lying in the grass. He rolls him over to get a look at his face, then rolls him back onto his front. Douglas stands with his head bowed, then waves over to Yosefa.
Come here!
She runs up to him.
Look at this. That's John Butler, my neighbor. Poor devil never harmed anybody in his life. Now they've killed him. Let's get him in the house.
Yosefa runs over to the farmhouse.
man.
Jim, come here!
Douglas rushes over to the farmhouse, but pauses in the doorway looking horrified. Primo and the posse ride over the hill.
Come on, hurry! Hurry!
Mr. Steinmetz! Hurry! We found Emma!
Douglas marches back to his horse, and Josefa chases after him.
Jim! I know how you feel. Go after them, Jim, and catch them. Get them before. Kill them! Kill them! Kill them!
Douglas comforts her while seething with anger.
Remo! Take your men and head straight for the border. I'm going by my place and pick up a fresh horse. I'll meet you at the river.
Yes, sir.
Everybody, get mounted!
The posse get onto their mounts.
All right, let's get going!
They ride off. Douglas's daughter sees three riders approach the ranch.
Juanita! 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 Juanita!
A woman emerges.
No los veo.
The riders cross a stream.
Parece tu padre. No los conozco.
The riders, Josefa, Douglas, and another man, arrive at the ranch.
Señor Douglas, hace rato vinieron dos hombres, se llevaron dos caballos y se fueron hacia el río.
Douglas embraces his daughter and picks her up.
Lo siento mucho. Elena y yo estábamos solas. Pablo se fue a trabajar.
Está bien, Monita. No te apures. Not far behind them, but they took the only horses that were here. Kevin, this is Josefa.
She's a good friend of mine. A very good friend. I want you to stay with her until I get back. I don't know when that'll be.
I'll take care of her. Just as if she were my own.
Guess I haven't been much of a father.
He kisses his daughter softly on the cheek.
Bye.
Josefa reaches up and gives Douglas a lingering kiss.
God bless you, Jim.
Josefa holds the young girl, and they watch Douglas ride away. He gallops off towards the mountains. As evening draws on, Primo leads the posse down to a stream.
It looks like it, all right.
Douglas canters through the water towards them.
Mr. Douglas, where are the tracks?
This is where they crossed the river.
Mr. Douglas!
This is the international border. We can't go any further.
I can't.
Douglas carries on over the border into Mexico and steers his horse through deep water. He reaches the far side of the river and canters up the bank. He finds a Mexican woman near the bank, cooking food on a stove beneath a tree.
Señor
Senora, did you see two men on horseback cross the river here today?
No entiendo.
Vio a dos hombres a caballo cruzar el río por aquí hoy.
Ah, sí. Mire, bajaron ahí, luego cruzaron el río, se fueron así, dieron la vuelta, se fueron por acá y se fueron para San Cristóbal.
San Cristóbal. ¿Para dónde quiere eso?
Ah, mire, San Cristóbal está, se va usted por aquí, da la vuelta, sube y un poquitito más adelante está San Cristóbal.
¿A qué distancia queda?
Como 20 kilómetros.
Muchas gracias.
Silhouetted against the inky sky, Douglas rides into a quiet town. The townsfolk pay him little attention as he passes through. Up ahead, a couple of horses are tied up outside a tavern. Douglas stops and looks around. The window of the tavern glows warmly from the light within. Inside the tavern, a barmaid carries a tray of food to a table in the corner, where Zachary is sitting with a young woman.
Otra copa para la señorita.
Señor.
Zachary suddenly pauses when he notices Douglas's menacing outline standing in the doorway. He walks across the tavern over to Zachary and places the pocket watch with the photograph of his wife and daughter inside on the table in front of him.
Who are you? What do you want with me?
Okay.
I see it. What of it? It's a watch.
Look at the picture.
The young woman hastily leaves. Douglas glares at Zachary with wild, vengeful eyes.
What about her? Who is she?
You remember her?
I never saw that woman before in my life. Now get out of here. I'm tired of you dogging my trail.
She was my wife. Raped and killed by you.
I tell you, I never saw that woman before in my life. Now get away from me.
Douglas draws his weapon and shoots Zachary, who fires off a shot but misses. Douglas then sees Luhan loitering in the doorway and fires at him, but the bullet strikes a wall. Douglas grabs his pocket watch and heads for the door. Luhan gallops through the night across open plains. Douglas is hot on his trail. They're both black silhouettes against the dusky blue sky. Luhan descends a rocky path down to a river and rides through the shallow water to the far bank. Douglas follows him. Early morning. The sun is shining and Luhan is still riding hard. Douglas watches from afar as Luhan gallops up to a farmhouse. A woman inside the house, caring for a young boy, hears Luhan tie up his horse. She rushes out to see him, and they embrace.
Pablo, qué bueno que llegaste. Bendito sea Dios que llegaste, Pablo.
Mira, Ángela.
Tenemos todo el dinero necesario para el resto de la vida. Cógelo para ti, cógelo.
Sí, pero el niño está enfermo.
¿Está enfermo?
Muy enfermo.
¿Pero cuánto tiempo está enfermo?
Mucho, hace mucho.
Vente.
He shows her the bag of loot, then quickly goes inside to see the sickly boy.
Pero él tiene fiebre, mucha fiebre.
Sí, pobrecito. Necesitamos refrescarle la frente.
Bueno, le voy a poner un poquito de agua. A ver si se le quita un poquito la fiebre. Pero es que no hay agua. Voy a buscar un poquito. Vengo enseguida.
He runs outside to fetch some water, and Douglas approaches the farmhouse from the far side. Douglas sneaks into the house. The woman has her back to the door and thinks Lujan has returned.
Mientras tú cuidas al niño, yo te voy a hacer algo de comer.
He steps forward and asks,
"Where's the Indian who rode up here on that horse?"
Perdone, señor, no le entiendo nada. Mi hijo está muy enfermo. Mi esposo fue a traer agua al arroyo.
Douglas draws his gun as Lujan returns, but the woman pleads with him.
¿Quién es usted? ¿Qué va a hacer?
Douglas throws her aside, but she smashes a pot over his head, knocking him unconscious. She then runs up to Lujan.
Ese hombre te quería matar.
Douglas wakes to find Lujan watching over him with a gun. He sits up on the porch and clutches his head.
Angela, tráele algo de comer.
The woman fetches some food and water for Douglas, who notices the bag of loot Lujan stole on a table beside him. Lujan watches him closely.
Eat.
Why don't you kill me? Well, you got a chance. I came here to kill you.
I have no reason to kill you. Why do you hunt me?
Douglas takes out his pocket watch and shows Lujan the photograph of his wife and daughter.
Just look at that picture.
Lujan studies it.
Your wife and baby?
Yeah.
She's very pretty. My wife and baby, they are pretty. Why do you hunt me?
You ever see that woman before?
No.
There were four men. Two white men, a half-breed, and an Indian. They robbed my ranch house and they killed my wife.
I have never seen your ranch.
The horse you rode up here, you stole from my ranch.
I did not know that was your ranch and I didn't see any woman.
If you've never been to my ranch before, where'd you get this bag of money?
That I took from a miner that I met in Canyon Diablo. We were at his house. We ate his eggs and meat. And then he ran down the hill to hide that money and Zachary killed him. I took that money from his hand when he was dead.
Butler was the one who told me 6 months ago, the day my wife was murdered, that the four of you, you came straight from my ranch past his place.
It is true. We did come past his place. But we did not come from the direction of your ranch. We came straight from the border.
Where did Butler get that money? It was stolen from my house the day that... with my wife.
Realization dawns upon him, and he stares at Luhan's wife and child. Douglas appears traumatized and sickened by the revelation. He leans back and clasps his hands together in prayer. Douglas rides back into town. The farrier sees him and hurries back inside. The bank manager watches him with excitement from the window. Douglas continues on horseback towards the church in the main square. Emma rushes out to see him. Douglas dismounts in front of the church and enters. Tom sprints across the square over to the sheriff's office. The sheriff emerges, recovered, but with a bandage around his head, and watches Douglas enter the church. Douglas walks down the aisle of the empty church, kneels before the altar, and then sits on a pew. The priest is at the top of a ladder, inspecting an alcove. He observes Douglas with curiosity. Douglas glances off to one side at the statue of the Virgin Mary holding baby Jesus. He looks thoughtful. The priest climbs down the ladder. Douglas is suddenly overcome with emotion. The priest stands before him.
Glad you're back, Jim. Been away a long time.
Father, I need help.
We all do.
I killed three men.
And the people of Rio Arriba are thankful that you brought justice where they failed.
You don't understand, I didn't kill him for the sake of justice.
You were a member of an armed posse legally sent out to get them, dead or alive.
No, Father, I didn't kill them for anything that they did here in Rio Arriba. I killed them for revenge. Revenge for something that they didn't even do. I set myself up as the judge, the jury, and the executioner. They swore that they were innocent. One of them even, he begged on his knees for his life. I wouldn't listen. I killed them for something that they didn't do.
Jim, let me point this out to you. By telling me what you have and feeling as you do, you're already a step ahead of a lot of other men that have been in your shoes. That doesn't mean that I'm condoning what you've done, but at least you haven't excused your own actions by saying, as many men would, that these men were evil and should die anyway, and that you merely carried out a legal execution.
Oh, I know that, Father, but it doesn't help. I was wrong. Wrong. Wrong.
Yusefa is with Douglas's daughter.
Come on.
They enter the church, and Yusefa watches from the doorway.
Some people think prayers.
Douglas nods at the priest, kneels before the altar, then turns to leave. He spots Yusefa and his daughter. His daughter runs up to him, and he throws his arms around her. He lifts her up and cuddles her tightly, a glimmer of happiness shining through his otherwise pained expression. He then carries her down the aisle towards Yusefa. As they leave, Douglas is greeted by a crowd of well-wishers. He looks confused and ashamed. The sheriff steps forward.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's no need for me to tell you. The emergency arose, and the man appeared. Sir Douglas, it's not often a man gets to do so much for his neighbors, do it like you did. We want you to know we'll be forever grateful, and you'll be in our hearts always.
Thank you. And in your prayers, please.
The crowd parts, and Douglas walks away, carrying his daughter in one arm, and with Yusefa at his side.